they spoke to us, making conference part of our lives. Consider using some of these activities and questions as a starting point for family discussion or personal pondering. For children, Elder David A. Bednar of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles shared a story of feeling afraid after he accidentally broke a window of a store near his home, page 46. Then he taught that when we look to Jesus Christ and follow Him, we can feel peace instead of fear. What can you do each day to help your children look to the Savior? How can you teach them to press forward in Christ even when times are difficult? Sister Linda K. Burton, Relief Society General President, told about a family that moved into a new house that had no fence around the yard, page 29. The father marked the yard boundaries with string and told his children they would be safe if they stayed inside the line. The children obeyed, even when a ball bounced past the string. How can parents help children be safe? What blessings come from listening to our parents? What boundaries does Heavenly Father give us? Bishop Gerald Cossé, first counselor in the presiding bishopric, told a story about three men in Africa who walked 2 weeks on muddy paths to attend a district meeting, page 98. They stayed for a week so they could take the sacrament before heading home. Then they carried boxes filled with copies of the Book of Mormon on their heads to give to people in their village. Do you think of the gospel as a wonderful thing? What sacrifices are you willing to make to live the gospel? Editor's note: child-friendly conference coverage can be found in this month's Friend magazine. For youth, many talks this conference highlighted the importance of the family and the home. For example, Sister Bonnie L. Oscarson, Young Women General President, asked church members to defend the home as a place which is second only to the temple in holiness, page 14. What can you do to defend the home? How can you help make your home a sacred place? Elder Russell M. Nelson of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles taught that our attitude and conduct on the Sabbath are a sign between Heavenly Father and us, page 129. As you read Elder Nelson's talk, you could think about this coming Sunday and ask yourself, what sign do I want to give God? Elder Ulysses Suarez of the 70 talked about a deacon who followed the example of Captain Moroni, page 70. When the young man saw some classmates looking at pornographic images on their cell phones, he told them they were doing wrong and that they should stop. One friend did stop. How can we receive strength to choose the right? How do we know what is safe for us to enjoy? Electronic devices can feel empowering because they give access to nearly unlimited information and media. But have you ever stopped and wondered if they control you? Elder Jose A. Taxiera of the 70 said, "It is refreshing to put aside our electronic devices for a while." Page 96. Give it a try. Pick a day sometime soon to go device-free. It might seem like the last thing you'd want to do, but you'll be surprised by how much more time you'll spend talking and making memories with friends and family. Fasting is one of the best ways to get serious about spiritual power. President Henry B. Eyring, first counselor in the First Presidency, reminded us that fasting and prayer strengthened Jesus against Satan's temptations while the Savior was in the wilderness, page 22. Next Fast Sunday, try following Jesus' example and fast with a purpose. You'll receive divine help and protection too. Editor's note: youth-friendly conference coverage can be found in this month's New Era magazine. For adults, several conference speakers address the importance of marriage and family in society and in the plan of salvation. You could answer the 5 questions Sister Burton asks on page 31 and prayerfully ponder how you can better lift and love those closest to you. As a family, discuss how you can better center your home on Jesus Christ and how you can better support each other. President Thomas S. Monson reminded us of the blessings that come from temple worship, including spirituality, peace, and the strength to overcome temptations and trials, page 91. As we attend the temple, he said, there can come to us a dimension of spirituality and a feeling of peace which will transcend any other feeling which could come into the human heart. What can you do to make your temple attendance more meaningful? Faith in Jesus Christ is a principle of action. We will not accidentally come to believe in the Savior and His gospel any more than we will accidentally pray or pay tithing, said Elder L. Whitney Clayton of the Presidency of the 70. We actively choose to believe, page 36. As you read his talk and the talks by Elder Dallin H. Oakes of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, page 32, Rosemary M. Wixom, Primary General President, page 93, Bishop Gerald Cossey, page 98, and Elder Kevin W. Pearson of the 70, page 114. Consider making a list of ways to strengthen your faith in Jesus Christ and His gospel. Then make a list of the promised blessings that come from increased faith. Elder Jeffrey R. Holland of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles taught that the Savior's atonement and resurrection constitute the most majestic manifestation of pure love ever to be demonstrated in the history of this world, page 104. How can your thoughts, words, and actions better reflect your appreciation for what the Savior has done? President Dieter F. Uchtdorf, second counselor in the First Presidency, explained the miraculous gift of grace and the importance of obedience and repentance. Trying to understand God's gift of grace with all our heart and mind gives us all the more reasons to love and obey Heavenly Father with meekness and gratitude, he said, page 107. Consider continuing your study of grace by reading Romans chapter 3, verse 23, and Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, 2 Nephi chapter 25, verses 23 and 26, Mosiah chapter 2, verse 21, Mosiah chapter 5, verse 2, Mosiah chapter 27, verse 25, Alma chapter 34, verses 10 and 15, Ether chapter 12, verse 27, and Moroni chapter 10, verse 32. End of the section, They Spoke to Us, read by Charlene Stewart.